didn't go this way, what would you say?
Well, would you say that Colin and I covered this. There's a difference between willful sin and ignorant sin. Paul talks about he did his sin in ignorance. I believe God is graceful and merciful, and I believe people that, let's say, are brand new converts and don't know about things, and if they're not willfully sinning against God, I think there's a grace of God, just like with children, whatever the age of accountability is. I think there's an age of accountability. I know there is, and I don't know where it is. Nobody knows. So God has grace for that, but willful sin, there is no grace for. So when you teach somebody something, James says, to you who know to do good and you don't do it, it's sin.
Right.
So if you know about it, you now know about it. It's sin if you don't do it. You now know about it. You now know about it.
But it still wasn't meaning that I was perishing before. What you're, you know.
No, because it was willful. Willful. Before it was ignorant.
But now, going back to the conversation, you said that I was willful.
Right.
Willfully.
Yeah, willful sin. So God's not going to punish everyone out of all of their ignorance. But here's where my concern is. If you're born again for 8 years, your dad's been a believer in ministry for 30 years. I told you, I boasted in Christ. In 1 year, we had 95% of our doctrine, just me and her. Everybody left us, our family, friends, everybody. We had 95% of what I'm out here proclaiming today in the first year. I really worry and wonder about people that say they've been born again 8 years, but they haven't become Bereans and Prothumia, Acts 17. In Prothumia, that means readiness of mind. So if you have the readiness of mind, that means prothumia in the Greek. I love that word. I did do a teaching article on this. Prothumia, readiness of mind. If you've got a readiness of mind and you're scouring the scriptures, I believe you would have got to dress before 8 years. I believe you would have got to Christmas and Easter or pagan before 8 years. So that's where it concerns me. So I don't know who God's going to pardon now. That's between you and God. All I know is it says flee all unrighteousness, not dressing biblical, not coming out of false religion, not coming out of the world is unrighteousness. I'll let God judge who's doing it willfully, who's not. Many people are going to die and suffer the wrath of God in hell. Hear me here. They're going to suffer and die, Christians I'm talking about, claim Christians, and suffer the wrath of God and go to hell, even though they don't know about these doctrines because of the state of their heart. Hear me out. I hear men all the time walk by me, and I start preaching to them, and you know what they'll tell me? They'll first listen a little bit, and then they usually will stop me, and they'll say, my wife can attest to this, they'll say, stop it. Don't tell me anymore. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Don't tell me anymore. What that means is, even though they didn't know about dress, they've already closed their heart down to what God would do in them. And they're saying, I'm only going to go so far with you, God. I don't want to listen. They're going to be condemned. Does that make sense to you? They're closing their heart and their mind. So it could be a specific doctrine. It could be your heart. No, God. I like Living Faith Church. My wife likes it. My dad's there. I'm only going so far. I'm not doing the rest of that. You're damning yourself because you're keeping yourself outside of the truth. Jesus said you must worship in spirit and truth. The spirit leads you to, ready? John 16. Let me take you to John 16. Do you think the Holy Spirit teaches us a little truth? Or half truth? Or part of the truth? No.
So one of the things, I still go back to that, it's not still, even if you look at what they were wearing, for men, I'm talking for men, not women. I said it's still even looking at the Greek word of tunic.
Looking at what?
The Greek word.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. It's all over the New Testament. They all wore it.
But it's still not clear cut as this is so, depending on yourself, hinging on the salvation. You know, if you don't wear a tunic and you don't command other men to wear tunics.
Well, if you obey God from, obey God from Genesis, which is before Torah law, why aren't you obeying God from Genesis before Torah law? Why are you just waiting for the New Testament? We don't go by just the New Testament. Why aren't you obeying God in Torah? You're married to one woman. You're obeying him there. You don't drink blood. You're obeying him there. They second it. They echo it in Acts 15.
But remember Jesus, you know, married to, talks in the gospel about, trying to think of the passage where he says, talks about divorce.
Right.
So your heart, you know.
Man, right. Right.
You know.
Yep.
Gives her a certificate of divorce.
Right.
You know. And correlating the two being one, you know.
Right.
So I guess what you're saying is that because that's still carries on into the New Testament.
Well, I guess I don't know what you're talking about, divorce. I mean, God hates divorce, but God does allow divorce under certain conditions. There is such a thing as a biblical divorce.
Correct.
Right, but
that.
He hates divorce, just like he hates sin. But I can prove God allows sin. You're still alive. So am I. He hasn't killed us yet. So he allows it. It's grace. Yeah. My wife's still alive. Praise God, he doesn't kill us instantly. But we have the ability to repent. But you're kind of hung up on the clothing thing, and I want you to be hung up there. I want you to go and study the gospel and then the effects of the gospel on your life and start from that foundation, and then that will spring out, and then it will cover dress and coming out of the culture and coming out of churchianity, leaving, losing your religious family that doesn't want to serve Christ. Start with the gospel and how it's affected you. You have been living a churchianity system. You haven't been living the gospel. Live the gospel and live by the word of God. And I'm telling you, we must live by the pre-Torah word. I just gave you the examples. I teach on my website. We live by the moral law. We don't keep Saturday Sabbath. We're resting in Jesus. And we live by the Galatians 2, the law of Christ. And the New Testament covers all of that. Do you know how many commandments are in the New Testament that you're supposed to keep? You ever pondered this? Your dad ever taught you that or told you that? How many commandments are in the New Testament? Commandment being, rebuke your brother if he's in sin. Walk in the ways of God. Kill your flesh. That type, those are all commandments.
Oh, commands. All right.
Over 1,050. But guess how you get there? Oh, I can't remember 1,050. You live by the Spirit. You love God. You love your neighbor. And guess what? It all works out because you're following the Spirit. You're following the Word of God. You're loving God. So you don't have to memorize every law. You just go, ready? Your Baptist friend. Hey, you got a phone. That's worldly. That's sinful. Hold on. Let's judge this. What do I use my phone for? Well, you preach the gospel to people. Is that godly or sinful? Well, that's godly. I communicate with my wife. Is that worldly and sinful? No, that's godly. Look after my wife.
Oh, I understand.
Okay, what I'm saying is he's using the criteria that's worldly. No, what is worldly is what affects your spirit and your soul that God told you not to do. That's what's worldly. Come out of the world. The world is the system that Satan developed. And I like to preach when people are eating at restaurants and stuff. Nothing wrong, sinful about eating. Nothing sinful about enjoying some food. The problem is America is awash in gluttony. It is. America's awash in entertainment. And Jesus said it. It will be like it was in the days of Noah in the last days. People will be eating, drinking, marrying. He said it. I like to preach that to people when
we
walk by.
As in the days it was in
law. Yeah, because right. They walk by and they're going, Jesus said they're eating, drinking, marrying, like nothing's going to happen. Ha, 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 Noah, that ain't going to happen. All of a sudden it rains and they're like, it's coming.
Remember the passage, and this is what I was trying to tell you, Cooper, that remember the passage, it says in Jude, Jude, save some with compassion.
Right.
Right.
And others by fear, hating even their filthy garments. Your Christianity, right? Churchianity is your filthy garment that I hate, but I love you.
So one of the things.
I hate your garment. I'm trying to save you from your dad's filthy garment.
Do you think, though, in some ways, that's what I was trying to point out, in some ways of going about where you're bringing them in, going from the natural to the spiritual, because the natural man doesn't receive the things of God because they're spiritually
discerned. I'm always preaching the gospel. But the only people I go that to is people like the Baptist guy, and then I give an answer and go, no, the phone's not worldly unless I make it worldly. A baseball bat, ready? A baseball bat that they use for baseball, I believe it's idle and sinful. Now, you could hit a ball in the backyard with your son and say, here, go catch the ball. Not sinful if you do that. What's sinful about sports is it's organized, it's covetous, it's competitive. They put them in unbiblical outfits and run around. They're pride to win. That's what makes it sinful.
Oh, right.
Kicking a soccer ball isn't sinful.
I get that, but I'm saying as far as like...
But that's the only time I bring that up is to refute people like that speak up. I preach to the world the gospel. And the only people I talk to are the people that come up to me. And guess what? They bring the topics to me, other than religious people. I did walk up to you. But unless it's religious people like the JWs or you, I don't walk up and talk to any of these people. They all come to us. You go and look at our posts we're going to do. We did one yesterday. We'll do one today. You're going to see people came up to us and talk. Colin came up to us to talk. That guy, Denny, came up to us to talk. You'll hear an older couple from the EFCA. I'm not partial. I just called an older couple out of the EFCA. I said, you got to leave that. It's sinful. And he's like, you're right. He said, I'm reading the Bible, but he said, I'm not really obeying it, am I? I said, you're not, sir. He's my age. So we talked to people that come up to us. You came up to us this time again. So I appreciate that you're repenting. You're going to have to go put some meat. Wasn't it John the Baptist, the greatest man that ever lived, said, have works.
Was he the greatest worthy. Man that ever lived?
So Jesus said.
I guess I didn't know that.
Did you know that? That's what Jesus said. He said there's no other man greater that's ever lived, that's ever been born than John the Baptist.
Didn't he say prophet?
No, he said no other man.
No other man.
No other man has ever lived. Sure. He's greater than John the Baptist. And John the Baptist died in jail over what? Died in jail. They beheaded him. Over what?
Because he rebuked Herod. Correct.
He rebuked a leader who was a Jew for what?
For sexual immorality.
Sin.
Right.
Sin. So when you see the street preacher rebuking sin, it's like, you know, I guess maybe adjust your attitude to it. Jesus did it. Paul did it. John the Baptist did it. Hey, the Pharisees showed up and he said, who told you to flee from the wrath of God, you brood of snakes and vipers? He wasn't exactly the coffee and cookie guy, was he?
No.
The street preacher has to go.
But I'm going to bring you back. They were religious, so they had already the knowledge when you come, you know, when somebody that doesn't know God doesn't know Jesus.
Right. I don't preach the same way as I preach to you.
But I
preach the gospel to them, call them out of the world.
But you don't.
People that claim Christ, I hold them to the word of God. That's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 5 says, judge the body. The people down at the church down the way from you, they have these guys that they save from drugs and alcohol, which is great, but they don't take them deep enough. There'll be plenty of sober people in hell. They're manning their booth, and he said, you're not supposed to judge anybody. And I said, the Bible tells us to judge. You shouldn't judge the body of Christ. The world judge nobody. I said, the Bible tells us to judge, sir. He wouldn't listen. You know why people don't want to be judged?
Because it brings negative feelings.
They live in
sure.
sin.
I mean,
you can judge me all you want. I don't live in sin.
But I'm not judging you.
I want you to judge me. I want you to look at my website and test me.
Test you.
It says test and judge. That is the same thing. Paul says we're to judge the body. Peter says judgment begins in the house of God. That's your house. First it's your life. Then it's your house, you and your wife. Then it would be your religious building you're associated to. Then it goes out from there. So I better watch out and make... I'm out here proclaiming all this stuff. People can get me on internet, video, audio. I don't care. Audio, anything I do. Video, anything I do. I better have my doctrine in order. My wife better be in order. My house and the believers I fellowship with online better be in order. Otherwise, I'm a big hypocrite. Because I'm telling you guys how to do stuff and I don't even do it. And God hates hypocrisy. And I warned you about that. Matthew 23. Jesus said, do what they do. Do it. I messed it up again. Do what they tell you to do. Don't do it as they do it, because they don't do what they say. And it reminds me of the modern pastor over here, Wade Bishop from Element Church, running the car show. I rebuked him 2 years ago, rebuked him today. I didn't even talk to him. I just put a testing up. I was preaching against the churches, and I said, this man teaches once saved, always saved. He says, I don't even teach that. I whipped my phone open and showed everybody the screen capture. It's right there. Eternal security. They lie right in front. This is Satan is the father of lies. So the churchianity system is built on him.
You're bringing me a lot of interesting areas of the Bible. It's not that I haven't studied them, but maybe glossed over and said maybe it's...
Remember, read, meditate on, understand, apply, and obey. Most people stop at reading. They don't meditate. They don't figure out if it's for me in context, because some of it's not for you in context. Some of it's not for my wife in context. Some of it's not for me. And then obey it. That man admitted. My wife is a testimony to it. You can listen on the audio. He goes, oh, no, no. He goes, I read the Bible every day, and I go to church. I've been going to this EFC church for 7 years. I read the Bible every day. And I looked at him, and I said,
hey, Norm.
Hey.
How you doing?
I said, are you obeying it? And he goes, that's where I'm falling short.
Wow.
I appreciate it. Track,
you got my email. I'll shake your hand because you say you're repenting. I want to see fruit. And then we can have communication and fellowship.
Sure. Thanks, guys.
Go deep.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Your soul's on the line. Hypocrisy before God, claiming we're a pastor but teaching false ways. It's not a small matter.
You know what?
It's a serious matter.
I will study the word, and I will hold it to it.
One of the things you're going to have to do is, honestly...
Listen, hold on. Not going to accept what you say
right.
just because
go study
you
it.
But I will study.
Paul says a novice shouldn't be teaching. One of the first things you should do is step down from being a pastor. You're not prepared or ready or living to be a holy Titus 1 elder. You're not. Step down from that.
I'm interested in the scriptures. I'm interested in what era you think this young man might be in. Would you